Wer sind wir?
Und warum machen wir diesen Podcast?
Du, Christina, bist Lady Tragedy. Mutter, Steuerberaterin, Coach, sitzt in unterschiedlichen Aufsichtsräten. Du hast mit mir vor 10 Jahren die Cabilo Productions gegründet und du produzierst diesen Podcast. Und vor allem bist du meine beste Freundin.
Und du, Roberto, bist Schauspieler, Synchronsprecher, Sänger, Schauspiellehrer. Zusammen schreiben und produzieren wir die Trilogie Immaculate über das Streben des Menschen nach der Vollkommenheit. Sie ist Theater, Film und Musik. Und vor allem bist du ein Drama-King, Roberto, und mein bester Freund.
Donnerstag ist unser Dazwischentag. Da nehmen wir uns Zeit, um zu reflektieren, was so los ist mit uns, unserer Freundschaft und der Welt.
Ja, wir vereinen Themen, die vermeintlich Gegensätze sind, und bewegen uns im Dazwischen.
Dazwischen, zwischen Defekt und Exzellenz. Dazwischen.
Hi, Roberto.
Hallo, Christina.
How are you?
Who I am? Oh, how I am.
We speak English today because we have a very special, great guest. And so we started with English today, right?
We started in English.
Okay, yeah. So I will ask you, Roberto, how do you feel? Defected or excellent?
I feel today really defective.
Oh,
you know why?
Sorry about.
Yeah, because I lost my plan. I lost my plan. I'm coming here with my bicycle, and I wrote it a plan for today, and I lost it on my way. I lost my plan, and I don't know what I can do now without a plan. Is it a chance or is not a chance without a plan? You know?
You and no plan. Oh my God.
You know what I mean? This is really, it makes me nervous. It makes me very nervous.
I understand that, but I think you will have a great day.
I hope. We drink a wine, a very special wine, but we are talking then about the wine. How are you, or better, how do you feel? Defective or excellent?
I feel these days between defective and excellent. Mm-hmm. Because I had to clean up my bass room because there are some handymen who want to work in that bass room. And I had to take all the things they have there to my room, and was falling in my past with all that things. And it does a lot with me. And so I have some happy times with all that stuff, and some defective time with all that stuff. So I'm between now.
Between defective and excellent.
Yeah, that's a great feeling.
So then we can hope that our guest today feels excellent. So we
it
have,
would be nice.
He,
yeah.
So we have all of them here on this podcast. So we say hello to Carlos.
Hello, Christina.
Carlos. Our audience still know about mm-hmm. you, because the last episode we also talk about you, because you give us a wonderful wine that
yes.
we drank, that we drank, or that something like drunk, that.
Yeah, and when we drank, we have the idea to have you as a guest.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
So nice to meet you.
Very pleased. Thanks a lot for the invitation.
Welcome.
And another great wine.
Yeah,
wow,
I would say a very unconventional wine. It's a very, very special. Huh?
But first, I want to know, how do you feel? Mm-hmm. Do you feel effective today or excellent?
Yeah, so sorry to disappoint you, Roberto. I will not say that I feel excellent. I don't feel either defective. because I feel somehow balanced. I feel in peace. So I don't feel myself neither happy, neither sad, but I feel in peace. And it's a feeling that I appreciate much more than happiness or sadness. So as you have said, Krishna, something bad is going on, something good is going on, but at the end, I feel in peace. And this is a very special and nice feeling.
You told us before we begin the podcast that for you it's more important to be in peace than to be happy.
Yeah. I mean, this is something somehow new that I'm learning. But happiness involves always expectations and always involves comparing between being happy and being sad. And then, I mean, life is impossible to be always happy. And then if you are happy and then you have fear to be sad, it's always a kind of unbalanced feeling. But if you are just accepting what is coming,
I understand,
what you have said, it's about the plan, what you have said about the plan. I mean, let's see what life brings you without a plan. It's also exciting. So at the end, it's more about accepting the reality and not creating yourself a lot of expectations.
So you think it's a chance to lost something?
Always. And something that you cannot control is that, I mean, you have lost, or you cannot control, you cannot, I would say that if you have lost it for something, and the only thing that you can do now is to adapt to the new reality, which is that you don't have a plan. And that's, you can be sad, you can be happy, but at the end it's the reality.
So the next days maybe you have no lists and look what the life will bring you.
Will bring us. So
who have a list every day, a plan and a list. And
I mean, now it's funny that you say this because I was the list guy. I mean, I remember now that you mentioned this, I had a friend in Cologne. A lady, and Carlos, it's insane because my list was of kind of 60 things per day. And I was grouping in 10 different things.
Okay.
And in every group, I had like 6 or 10 tasks. At the end of the day, I had 100 tasks per day.
Mm-hmm.
The amazing thing is that I was able to do the 100 tasks per day. But my friend told me, I mean, this is insane, Carlos. How can you live with 100 things to do every day? And now, and she told me, no, you need to have only 2 or 3 things per day. I'm not doing this anymore. What I did some months ago was just collecting the things that I did, not collecting the things that I have to do.
So
I took a piece of paper and said, okay, what I did yesterday, this, this, and this. I said, wow, that's not bad. And then at the end of the week, I look at everything that I did, and I was so impressed of what I did in the week that this gave me a lot of peace. But to be honest, now I'm not doing even that. I'm just letting life with the flow.
Yeah, you and only then, live the life.
I try to live life when things come to me. I mean, I try also to be focused and to be on the action. So
I think you have to do a lot of things.
I have.
Because you have a bar in Berlin.
Yeah.
A wine bar?
Yeah, it's not only a bar, it's a quite special concept. It's the combination of 4 different concepts, which is a coffee shop, bakery, wine bar, and kind of bistro and food. So we have a space which is open every day in the week from 8 o'clock in the morning until 1 o'clock in the evening.
I read that. What?
Yes.
It's right, not 8 p.m.
No. From 8 a.m.
Oh,
and then we welcome people in the morning with the coffee that we roast, with the bread that we bake in place for breakfast. And and then it's very interesting because at a certain point in the day, the atmosphere changed from a morning coffee to an evening wine bar. Also, the lights are changing, and then we start to serve wonderful wine and with some bites. So the same space can welcome different kind of people with different expectations.
Wow!
And that's what one of the things I'm living these days. Yeah.
Wow!
I have a question because the last wine that you given to us that we drank at the last episode, it was the only wine that exists, or it is one of different wines?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I mean, when we talk about the wine business or when the wine industry or the food, I think that we need to talk about 2 different concepts. One is the wine industry, and the other thing is the wine artisan. So mm-hmm. when you talk about the wine industry, it's a little bit the same that if you talk about car industry or about yeah. washing machine mm-hmm. industry. So you go to buy a BMW mm-hmm. and you have thousands of BMW that could you expect is to have the same quality.
Mm-hmm.
But I would, and in the wine industry it's the same, no? So you go to a supermarket, you go to Edeka, you go to Rewe, and you have a bottle of wine and you expect to have hundreds of these bottles, thousands of these bottles, and every time that you go there, you buy the same bottle.
Mm-hmm.
This is one model. The other model I would compare with the art. If you want one day, if you're very lucky and you have a lot of money and you want to buy a Picasso,
mm-hmm.
you buy a Picasso, but you don't expect to buy hundreds of the same Picasso because unfortunately or fortunately, there is one Picasso.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're lucky, you buy this Picasso. In the handmade wine or in the artisan wine, what the people that they produce this wine are doing, and it's nothing new because this is what we have been doing as humans since thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
They take some grapes, they make wine, at a certain moment, maybe they make 300, 400 bottles, and when these bottles are gone. And mm-hmm. then next time that they need to make wine, the grapes will be different, the weather will be different, his mood will be different, so the wine will be a different wine. Will be a wine mm-hmm. which has nothing to relate to the wine that you have had. And this is what I mean, that every bottle is kind of unique mm-hmm. because also between these 400 bottles that they have done, every bottle is different because maybe the wine was a little bit up, the wine was a little bit down. Mm-hmm. So this is what I mean by being unique.
It's unique.
Wow.
Okay.
Cool.
It's like to be a human being, no?
Yeah, exactly.
We are
yeah.
in a way from the same earth, from the same... From the basic, it's the mm-hmm. same, but we are all unique.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. Sorry.
Yeah. Roberto, and that's all natural wines.
Yeah, you know, I'm also a little bit reluctant to call natural wine because, and I will give you an example. When I was a kid, my grandmother gave me an orange and I was not asking my grandmother, that's an organic orange or that's a bio orange.
Okay.
Because
yeah,
this was
yeah.
an orange. The perversion is that now to the real things, we need to give them a name. So for me, this is wine. And all the rest
that's
that we are drinking. Wine that's
the wine of your idea.
Yeah,
the wine.
It's my idea.
Okay,
and
okay.
it's the wine that our grandparents, they have drank 100 years ago. And in any case, what we could do is that the wine that I buy in a supermarket, we should call them industrial wine.
Industrial wine, yeah.
I mean,
it is,
not,
yeah.
It's not good or bad, no? But
no,
it's
yeah.
a different thing.
Yeah,
one
yeah.
thing is wine, and
yeah,
the other
yeah.
thing is something that has been processed and some has
mm-hmm.
been manipulated, has been,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we have added a lot of chemical additives to make the wine stable, to,
mm-hmm.
to have the same taste. But this is wine, so what we drink
this
is wine.
This is the real wine
that's
for
a
me,
real
and
wine.
I
yeah,
taste,
yeah.
it tastes delicious. Thank
yeah.
you so
no,
much.
No, thank you.
I have a question. I'm not a wine drinker. Mm-hmm. I don't drink any alcohol in a way, and I want to ask what is the special feeling of wine drinking? As what is so beautiful to drink wine?
That's also again an interesting question. I mean, the human we have been drinking wine since thousands of years, so that's nothing new. I think that there are different aspects there. One aspect is, of course, the alcohol. The alcohol is something that generates a different mood. Some people say, and I don't want to become very spiritual, that there are, there is a kind of connection between your body and soul. And sometimes this connection is polluted because of the brain. No? The brain is telling
mm-hmm.
us what to do. And there are a number of things in life that cuts this connection and then allow us to be like we are. Huh? Sometimes are drugs, you
mm-hmm.
can be in favor or not. Sometimes it's sex, you can,
mm-hmm.
but and sometimes it's alcohol. So when you and I can't speak by myself, I can guarantee you that when I drink a little bit of this wine and I'm far, far, far to be drunk, I have a special sensitivity that I start to see things different than when I don't drink this wine. And it's like this connection of what needs to be done because your brain is telling you that you need to do that. Then this connection is a little bit weaker. And then you start to act a little bit more driven by your heart than driven by your brain. So maybe this is a little bit crazy, but
okay.
it's a little bit what... So somehow it's something that helps you to connect with your own body and not to act in the way that we have been taught to act. And I think maybe it's something super crazy, but I feel that this is something coming from the earth, coming from the rain of the mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. at the end we are drinking something which is natural, which is coming from the earth, which has been also let's say being affected for people that they have put their love there, their dedication. And then you are not drinking just something which has been produced just to think, I mean, let's make money or let's make something. No, mm-hmm. This is a lot of love, a lot of energy on this wine. And maybe, I mean, you can tell me that I'm crazy, no? But I feel every time that I drink one of these wines, a lot of energy coming. And this energy is bringing me also good energy. And at the end, when I drink this wine, I feel better than if I don't drink this one.
Really good energy.
Absolutely.
Much you will drink to have that good energy?
That's also, I mean, now maybe you tell me that I'm crazy, but believe me, I can even, and I will explain you an anecdote. A super anecdote. One day, I mean, using the language that you have used before, I arrived home. I was living in Cologne. I will always remember. I arrived home. I was tired because I was working the whole day, and I was sad. I was just sad. And then I decided to start cooking for myself, and in this job I have also, I mean, many winemakers, they send me bottles of wine to try and to see how, mm-hmm. how they taste, and I don't have always the time to try, no? And that day I said, okay, I'm going to open one of these test bottles mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. I don't know to see how this wine tastes. And then I start to drink that wine. I said, oh, I don't necessarily like this one. And then every time I had an additional sip, I was sadder. So I was feeling more and more sad every time. So my sadness didn't go away. I was feeling more sad. And then at a certain point, I said, Carlos, why are you drinking this wine that you don't like? And this uh-huh. wine is not giving to you good energy. Uh-huh. And then I decided to say, stop. And then I took a wine of a winemaker that I know I love. Mm-hmm. And then I open the wine of the winemaker, and I can promise, the first sip, the first drop of wine that I had, my mood changed completely from being sad to not being sad anymore. And this is a fact. This is a story.
One little glass.
So it was nothing. No, not even a glass. Only a sip.
Yes.
Only the first sip I had, my mood automatically changed, and it was nothing related to be drunk. Nothing related. It was that somehow, I mean, you can say that maybe I knew the winemaker, maybe my conscience was different one, but I remember that drinking one wine brought me to a bad energy path, and drinking the other wine that I knew that it was done with love put me automatically on a good energy. So what I mean is that not all wine produce the good energy.
Yeah,
no?
There are wines that
produce the good energy, and there are wines that they don't produce the good energy at all. And with the kangaroo, when I drink a wine from the supermarket, my energy is horrible.
So you think it's important in life to choose the right, how can I say, the right thing that we take it to us, as or if it's wine or food or person it's important to have a plan to know what is good for us and what is not good for us.
All my love, Roberto, all your speech was good until the point that you have mentioned the plan.
okay.
Because I could say, yes, of course, I think that, I mean, a very common sentence is we are what we eat, no? So I think that we are the result of what we eat, we are the result of what we drink, we are the result of the people that we are with, mm-hmm. but you cannot plan that. So I think that at the end, you feel like you feel depending on what you eat. Of course, you need to take care. But you cannot plan saying, I want to be only with good people. At the end, the good people will come to you or the bad people will come to you. At the end, I think, depending on, again, on the mm-hmm. energy. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm coming from the scientist.
Yeah, because this is important. It's a new space what you do now, because before you were
I would say that it's
what
the,
you did
it's the third space that I'm experiencing in my life. So I have gone through spaces before that one. So mm-hmm. the first one I was a scientific, So I was I'm a doctor in chemistry. If you read on my on my papers, no? So I mean, on my papers it says that I'm a doctor in chemistry. So I did chemical engineer and at the same time that organic chemistry. So officially I'm a doctor in chemistry, and I know a little bit about that. The second space of my life is that because of this I have been, I mean, you can believe or not, but I have been working 20 years in a big chemical company. So I know a little bit about the multinational, about the corporate world and about the capitalist concept. So let's say 20 years of my life was kind of a student research scientific. 20 years of my life it was I was on kind of executive for corporate job. And now I'm in a different universe, which is more closer to, I don't know, fun or I would say at the end real things, I would say. So I'm doing things which are much closer to reality than what I did in the past. But
What is the reality? Why is it more reality?
I mean, if I can summarize, I mean, working on a big corporation is very far to reality because I think it's a part of the world that we have created, which is there, but I wouldn't say that it's very real. So I would say it's a system that we have created. And when I'm saying now that this is real, is that because I'm dealing with real people, that they are doing something, food or wine, something that we as humans we need. I'm not saying that we don't need a car. We need a car, but car is a kind of something that you can have or you don't have. But food is something that we always need, and it's very different to provide us with good food, with authentic food, not just provide that us with industrial food. This is why I mean it's more real, it's more authentic. I'm dealing with people now, with real people that they produce things and real people that they consume things. And this is, for me, it's a pleasure. No, I mean, I'm dealing with two wolves, that the two wolves are real. And before I was dealing with wolves, that they were living artificial.
Okay. I understand that. And I have a question. You are from Barcelona,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And why all that experiment in Berlin?
Again, coming back to Roberto's concept, this was not following any plan.
But today, what do you think about your not plan to come to Berlin?
You know, I mean, I can...
I eat an octopus because Carlos bring to us also octopus, not just the wine, also octopus. So I will take... I would take now what
mussels
and octopus. I drink now an octopus.
We have an aperitivo.
Okay, sorry.
No, so again, coming back to what I have said before, I'm not even thinking if it was good or bad. It is what it is. I came to not to Berlin. I came to Germany because of my other job, of the corporate job. The corporate job always. They sent to me to places that I didn't decide by myself. So I was in Barcelona, then I moved to France. I was living 5 years in France, in Lyon.
Oh,
and then from France, from Lyon, I was moved to Cologne. It was also not my decision, but life brought me to Cologne.
Okay.
And then I was living in Cologne. And then I founded my, let's say, my additional project, the wine and food project in Cologne at the same time that I was working on the corporate, corporate company. And then... From Cologne, I have to say that then some people, but also not planned, told me, Carlos, what are you doing in Cologne? You should come to Berlin because what you are doing in Berlin it could explode. Everybody's looking for something like this.
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, I stay in Cologne, but then I will open the same concept in Berlin. And then for 1 year, believe it or not, I was doing the three things. The corporate job, my project in Cologne and my project in Berlin for a year.
And everything without plans.
Everything without plan. I mean, as a matter of fact, that meant that every week I was spending 3 days in Cologne, 3 days in Berlin for a year I was doing this, which was quite tough. When I look back, but it was fun. At the end, I did this, I don't regret, and now it's a different moment. And now I'm not in Cologne anymore, and I'm not working on the big company anymore. I decided to.
So you are now a Berliner?
I'm 100% in Berlin, yes. I'm 100% in Berlin for a year.
By heart and soul or by brain?
You know, my heart is in many places.
Okay.
in many
places.
My heart is in many places.
Because your parents live in Barcelona.
My parents live in Barcelona. Okay. Of course, I have a very strong contact with all these producers that they are in Spain. So that means that I need to be there very, very often. So my heart is sometimes here, sometimes there. But this point to be in the middle is also very, very interesting feeling. No? So you don't belong to a place, you belong to, at the end, to yourself.
This is this was the topic of the last last podcast.
Okay, living by yourself, but it means you had to have the guests who like what you do.
Yeah.
So if Berlin doesn't work, you have to.
I have to say, and I've been very lucky there, that Berlin is the place.
Yeah.
Because Berlin, I was talking to some friends yesterday, has good things and had bad things. The good things in Berlin, and I have said this for long time now, it's the only city in the world I know that has accepted so many different cultures. So everybody is welcome in Berlin. I don't know any other city in the world that is so, let's say, welcoming or at least opening to all cultures. And what is important, not creating ghettos or edges between cultures. So everybody here lives everywhere. There are no the Muslim quarter, or there's not the African, so everybody is mixed. When you go to New York, when you go to London, when you go to Paris, that's not the case. In these cities, you have places where people live here. Everybody is let's say, welcome and with more or less difficulties. But this brings, again, an special energy. This brings heterogeneity, which in my opinion is very interesting. But what is important is that these people are looking for something which is also similar of what how they are. So you cannot, you cannot sell them bullshit because they are taking risks. They come to a place where it's not their place. They are looking for things which are new, which it may be, but at the end they are looking for reality, they are looking for authenticity. So if you have a concept,
so you think the Berliners, what is the important thing of the Berliner, what they need, what they want, what they accept as the Berliner, what is, if you say they are so open that everybody can come here and can live here, but what is for the Berliner the most important thing?
I would say that Berliner is a very difficult word, because what is Berliner? No? So Berliner is the German people that they live in Charlottenburg, or Berliner are the Ethiopian people that they live in Neukölln. So Berliner is a conglomerate of so many things that everybody live together. That at the end, maybe there is nothing that it's common to everybody. And many people, they have different interests. But if you bring something which somehow fits with everybody's expectations, or with a number of people's expectation, then this thing is working. My experience is that Berlin is a city plenty of young people. That's a fact. Young people that they come, as said, with maybe a lot to win, but also a lot to lose. So they are open to new experience. They are open to new emotions. And if you provide them with something which is new, but also authentic, because I think that the new generation, they are not looking for bullshit anymore, so you cannot sell them fake things. So then there is a match there. This is a little bit
weird. So Berlin is something like a space where you come to find or to win something what you don't and to lose perhaps also something that you don't want anymore.
Somebody told me that Berlin is not Berlin, it's not a place. Berlin is the result of people that we are looking for the same. And
I like it.
And when these people,
and what we are looking for,
whatever, but I mean, of course, I mean, we are looking for some opportunities, for something new. So maybe we were not completely satisfied with the situation that we had before, and we believe that in Berlin we can develop things, because Berlin is not super expensive. I mean, I would never go to London, for instance. I mean, a colleague of mine on the gastro scene, she told me, for the price that I need to pay for a restaurant in London, I have five in Berlin. But if you can have five restaurants in Berlin, you cannot expect the same from the restaurant that you had in London. you cannot ask people to pay 150 euros for a dinner, mm-hmm. because
yeah.
the quality standards and the life standards are mm-hmm. different. You have a lot of options, you have a lot of opportunities, but you need to be also fair and aligned with people's expectations. So yes, I would say that in Berlin, almost everything is possible. And this is what
I like it.
I would say, if you compare with other cities, I mean, I don't see my.
But you don't think that that as a, my opinion is about Berlin. I don't know what you think, Christina. But my opinion is in Berlin. What Berlin gives to you is to find yourself, especially in your desires. Mm-hmm. As Berlin is very, very is a space mm-hmm. where you can really find out, where you can discover your desires. Mm-hmm. So, and yourself also, you know, as a desires and yourself, mm-hmm. I think this is the thing that Berlin gives to you, because Berlin is also, I don't know, also it's really, it's, is it like that Berlin gives you all the possibility that you want to have in your life?
I think the opportunities are there. Mm-hmm. The opportunities, I think that there are a lot of opportunities. I'm not saying that the opportunities are, let's say, from a money point of view, interesting, but I think that because of the heterogeneity of people that they are coming to Berlin, the feedback, the energy, the input you have, they are so diverse that I think that it's a perfect place to develop ideas and concepts that you have on mind, let's say with limited risk. I'm not saying that all of them they will be successful, I'm not saying this, but it's a city that gives you the chance to experiment things. Maybe what people want to experiment is what you have mentioned, to find themselves, but other people maybe they want to experiment something different. And I would say, I mean, I see a lot of young people from, and I have not seen this in any other part of the world, people coming from South America, people coming from Australia, coming from Africa, from Asia, and all of them, they have their small or big projects, but they come with a project. And they, and some projects are easy, some projects are a little bit more complex, but some projects are art-related, some projects are more job-related, but all this confluence of things creates a dynamic that this is the energy of the city. And then for some people, this helps to, as you have mentioned, to discover themselves. But I think it's a, let's say, it's a playground where a lot of things can happen. This is what I mean. And in a different cities or in a different regions, this playground is not as obvious as in Berlin.
But it's important to have a plan in Berlin. When you come to Berlin, what do you want to say?
No.
You need a plan?
No.
Or you don't need a plan?
Most of the people...
Not
they come,
in Berlin,
no,
Roberto.
Exactly. No.
Not in Berlin. You are free to do
exactly.
all what you want, and you can feel free. That's my... Because
exactly.
that's my place to be.
Yeah. I think that's the point of Berlin. I mean, most of these people, they come without a plan to Berlin.
Yeah,
and most of the people lose themselves also in Berlin with drugs, with sex, with everything, because you go in Berlin and you lose, because you can do everything.
But
and
one thing
you,
is connected
you lose.
With, one thing is connected with the other.
What?
So you cannot have a space where everything is possible and where all the opportunities are there, and you can say yes, but I want only the opportunities which are no. I mean, if you have all the opportunities, you have everything. It's a package.
Okay. So we can say when we don't have a plan, you can win and you can lose. And if you are a plan, you can do whatever.
And if you have a plan, you lose every time.
You lose with the plan?
Probably because the result will not fit with the plan 100%, and then you will be disappointed. And if you don't have a plan, I'm saying, okay, life is bringing you some experiences. Take the experiences, like, because you cannot change at the end. What life is giving to you, you cannot change. Take the best of what life is giving to you. Of course, you need... I mean, when I have said before that I was a scientist, I wanted to say something which is also maybe a little bit crazy, is that, I mean, we are not a body. We are not something physical. At the end, what we are very, very small particles, you can call molecules or atoms, that it's basically frequency. So it's energy. If I look to yourself, Cristina, even if I see a body there, there is no body. There is something so ethereal that at the end it's frequency. And this frequency has a vibration. And this is, that's not an invention. That if this frequency is vibrating in a different direction, attracts the other frequency that it's also attracting, vibrating in the same direction. So that's somehow scientific, no? So if you start to vibrate, let's say negative, or you will attract to your life things which are negative. If you start to vibrate positive, you will attract to your life positive things. And this is with plan or without plan, I would say. Yeah. It's more the feeling that you have on how you approach things in life that having everything structured, because at the end, having everything structured involves unhappiness. I, that's my personal opinion.
Alberto, I think it's easier to lose without a plan than you have a plan and lose.
It's better to lose
when you have no plan.
It's better to lose when you don't have a plan. Yeah. It's better to lose
for your soul and your heart. It's better when you have no plan and lose. You have all opportunities to do something and you lose. Then it's better for you. You have no plan. So it's not so deep, but you fall down.
Yeah, but I would say that losing and winning is so relative at the end, because
what's for yourself win, that the other people see on you, or is it what you feel, what win is or lose?
Exactly.
But what is your, how you would say now, perhaps also for our audience, in your life, when you see in your life now, you change from the scientist.
Yeah, scientist. Let's say scientist, executive, and now
entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur. Let's say entrepreneur. Or, yeah.
So what you would say you lost, and what you win now?
Yeah, I would say something different. So I think that we have been trained to do a personal and professional career, going from A to B to C to D and to E. But maybe that's not reality. Maybe sometimes you need to make A and then you go to Z, and then you from Z you go to M. And then on this, on every step, of course, there are things that you win and things that you lose. But the important thing is, where are you now? And if you are here, it's because of the result of what you have done before. I'm not thinking at all what I have lost of what I'm here now, Carlos. Today is 2024. February, so I try to enjoy what I'm doing now with you, with the two of you. I'm not thinking also a lot of what I will do. I mean, I know that I have something to do later, but I try to enjoy what we are doing now. And what I'm convinced is I'm the result of what I have done before. I'm happy with who I am. I am happy. So that means that the balance between the good and bad is more positive than negative. And then I don't think about the things that I have lost in the past, because it's not helping. You cannot change. The only thing that you can say is, okay, the thing that I have lost has helped me to be where I am, full stop. And then
great idea. But you miss Barcelona,
okay,
that's not lose or win, that's miss.
Okay, I will answer also on an indirect way. It will be not fair if I say, no, I don't miss Barcelona. But I have to say that when I was in Barcelona, I was dreaming about leaving Barcelona. Because for a number of reasons, Barcelona, it's not a very easy city to leave, because it's plenty of tourists. It has become super, super expensive. It's not the Barcelona.
Super expensive, yeah. Yeah, I mean, nowadays,
when you compare with Berlin, maybe not. But I remember the Barcelona of 20, 30 years ago, which was a Barcelona which was very nice to live. Now the price of the apartments, only the people coming from other countries they can pay. Many people from Barcelona, they need to leave Barcelona because they cannot pay their rent there.
Okay.
So Barcelona, from I would say, it's not an ideal place. Of course, we have very objective things like super nice weather, we have a beach which is in the city, we have a super nice architecture. It's fantastic gastronomy also.
Yeah.
But I need to be honest, when I was in Barcelona, I also saw a lot of things that made me not happy. So from one aspect, yes, I miss, I would say, more the light. And of course, Berlin in winter, I mean, I mean, that's a fact. No,
that's
a fact. So the lingua inter is not nice. I honestly, I have not been able to find coziness on my own. I'm still in the process to learn that. But what it's difficult to say that one place is better than the other. Let's say in absolute terms, no? There are good and bad things in both. And yeah,
I like Barcelona too. You stay there, you remember, Alberto?
Yeah, we celebrate the birthday of Cristina in Barcelona.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
7 years ago.
Yeah. 7 years ago? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we celebrate her birthday and it was very special, yeah. It was very nice.
Mm. I like Barcelona because my daughter studied there for 1 semester, so I know Barcelona and I like it so much.
I think that the ideal thing is to have the possibility to be in my case, in two different places, no? I mean, I'm in Barcelona somehow because I'm very often there. I have my family there. Now less than I would like.
Oh, okay.
But I try to be there every two months. So somehow I keep the contact with. I wouldn't say not only Barcelona, it's the whole Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Because Spain has a kind of lifestyle that I like. You can go to many different places and you share this life culture in the sense of, I mean, good food and being with friends, enjoying life, and you can look at the sky and you have light. You know, if you are close to the sea, which is something that I really like, it's a plus. So all these things are nice things. Huh?
And you think that that Spain or perhaps Barcelona, it's also an open city where everybody can live and everybody can express himself or himself.
It was maybe more in the past than now, to be honest. I think in the 70s Barcelona was a very special city because it was between Spain and Europe, so we had all the influence from the, let's say, from the north vibes, and then we had a lot of in the art and the architects and people really visionary. So it was a lot of things going on in Barcelona in the 70s. Then we cannot forget that in 92 we had the Olympics, and then it was like, wow, Barcelona is open to the world, and then everybody recognized Barcelona. And then I think that this was the starting point of the decline, because when some place becomes popular. And I was always, when I was a kid, I was thinking always how people can live in Venice. So I could not imagine living in Venice. Venice is Venezia. It's a wonderful place, but I could not imagine living there because, I mean, it's so crowded. And Barcelona has happened something similar. No?
Yeah,
but I remember when I was a kid, I could not imagine Venice. And then 20 years later, I say, oh my God, but Barcelona is now, it's the same. No? Barcelona became so popular that on one hand, I think that has become a little bit fake, and this is hard to say because it's my city, but has become kind of, yeah, showroom where it's more a facade. And then also a number of things that has happened at the same time, between the conflict between the Catalan speaking or the Catalan culture with the non-Catalan culture. Yeah. So there is a number of things that now I would say that it's not as... I mean, of course, for a German or for a... It's wonderful, because when you compare with... Sure. I mean, it's a dream, no?
It's a light and...
Yeah,
and
exactly. But being local there, I would say that I'm a little bit more critical on comparing Barcelona today with Barcelona some years ago. So I wouldn't say that... I would say that we have become a little bit an stereotype, making a little bit the story short.
But the crowd of people is in Berlin also, that... On much place, not at all, and it's good for you. We have so much people in Berlin, so your bar is crowded.
But they wouldn't say that Berlin is a touristic place. So in Berlin there are a lot of tourists, but the tourists, they go to Brandenburg Tor, but Berlin is plenty of people. They are not tourists, in fact, but they are a lot of locals, lot of people, as I have mentioned before. I have never seen so many Russians, so many people from Ukraine for different reasons, people from Bangladesh, and an unbelievable amount of people from Australia, New Zealand coming here. Also, in my bar, I listen a lot of South American people, and it's this combination of, and they are not tourists, they are people living in Berlin.
Material, your bar is in Schönhauser Allee, 156,
right? It's Prenzlauer Berg.
And there are, the guests are more Berlin people or Jews?
No, Berlin people.
Okay.
Berlin people. I mean, it's not German, necessarily. I mean, we have a lot of German people. But we have all cultures, all nationalities coming to the place.
Okay.
We have a very nice combination between neighborhood people, so people that they live in the area that they are coming. And then we are lucky also, we have became a kind of reference on the, I would say, natural wine, or and we have people from all over the place in Berlin. And of course, we have also some tourists, because that's also people coming from, because they love natural wine and they love good coffee, and they come to us because of they have heard about us. But basically, it's Berlin people coming to us.
Okay, and your next trip to Barcelona started tomorrow?
And going back to Roberto's plan, in principle, yes, but everything is open.
Ah, okay. I thought from Roberto that...
I have a ticket for Saturday.
Yeah, you have a ticket.
I have a ticket for Saturday.
Okay.
But the decision will come in the next 2 days.
If you go or not.
Yeah.
And when you go, how long will you be there in Barcelona?
I mean,
Spain?
If I go, this time will be 4 days.
So, but we have to make a little plan, Roberto, to stay at Maturia meet Carlos again.
After Thursday, if I go after Thursday,
I want to taste the coffee.
Yeah.
And
so we have
wine.
Coffee, we have delicious pastries and an amazing bread that we are preparing with tomato and sardines from Cadiz, from Andalusia. They are insane. And then, a glass of wine is always welcome, yes.
So, listen to that words, all our listeners, and we will meet perhaps at your bar.
Maturia, yes. In Maturia, you are more than welcome.
And thank you for that great mussels and pulpo we eat during the podcast today. And I like it. Thank you so much.
So, and what was the topic of this talk? How we wanna call it?
I think, Roberto, you have an idea for that.
I don't know. How is it about between lost and win, or between plan and surrender? No, between lost and win. Between how we can talk our episodes today. Between octopus and mushers.
That's a good idea. Yeah,
there is not a unique true or a unique view. Reality, happiness, and all these things have different angles and form. Yeah, I would say that different ways of taking life how it comes. No?
Take it life how it comes. It's not the title of a podcast. Not from our podcast, because we are always between one and the other one. Yeah, yeah.
So you give it in our hands to decide.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we will think about it.
We will think about it.
Have now the result.
I want it now. I want it now. No. We stay. I'm very happy that you are here, that you were here, that you are still here, that we have a good conversation with
you.
Between life, between happiness, peace, and plans and not plans, and wins and not wins.
Berlin and Barcelona.
Yeah, exactly.
Berlin and Barcelona. And
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And see you in the Maturia.
Yes. You will be very, very welcome. It will be a pleasure.
Thank you.
Ciao, Carlos.
Ciao, Roberto.
Ciao, Cristina. Ciao.
For this.
Ciao. As we share zwischen Defekt und Exzellenz. As we share.